We are going through a sermon series on the Beatitudes of Jesus. This was the first sermon that Jesus preached. It was the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the beginning opening of his sermon. And he's telling us what the kingdom of God looks like, what the people in God's family should act and be like. But before we get into today's Beatitude, I want to throw a question up on the screen. If you could, Amber, for us. How many of you are movie watchers? Are you people who go to the theater or open something on Netflix or well, I remember when I was a kid, we did on Sunday night, we did the Disney thing where they put on the shows on Disney. And this is the question I want to open us with. Share a movie plot or a TV show or a book or something where the character gets away with something. How do you feel when they don't get what they rightfully deserve? So if you could right now break into groups of six or eight people, separate your chairs, and answer this question. Share a movie plot, a TV show, or a book where the character gets away with something. And how do you feel when they don't get what they deserve? Go for it right now. We'll see you in a few minutes.
As you find your way back to point in this direction, we're going to break into our groups again. But I want to remind you, we are having a prayer meeting this Friday at 7 o'clock. We've invited all the churches of our community. It's actually the Salmon Arm Ministerial, all the pastors of our community, asked if we would host their spring prayer meeting. So all the leaders, all the people, congregants from all the different churches in Salmon Arm are gathering on Friday to pray together. Pray for the salvation of our community, for the revival within our churches, for God to move. And I wanna invite you to that. Yes, we're the host church, but please come, 7 o'clock, it's about an hour, hour and a half long, and we're going to intercede for those around us, for the justice of God, for him to come and say, yes, what you've done is wrong, but I'm here to save you, I'm here to reach out to you, and we want to pray for that. Now, I don't know about your families, but when we see someone who doesn't get what they don't deserve, especially my kids, Elizabeth is the best. She's always first to say, that's unfair, right? You've heard that from every little kid. That's unfair. And I have to remind her every time, and I tell her this consistently, Elizabeth, it is unfair. But if life was fair, Jesus wouldn't have to die for you. He wouldn't take your place. He wouldn't take your punishment. And because of the unfairness of this world, Jesus said, I understand, and I'm going to take your punishment. So be thankful that it's unfair, because Jesus did what we cannot do. So welcome to Five Corners Church. Welcome to our family. We're in the middle of this eight-part series where we're examining Jesus' Beatitudes. The words that we find in Matthew chapter 5, the sermon that Jesus delivered where he looked out into the community around him, and he says statements of reality about who they are and what he would love for us to become as we enter and participate in his kingdom. So to review, since we've had a couple weeks off from Easter and stuff, I want to read to you the beginning of this sermon that Jesus gave to the people on that hillside. So if you want to follow along, open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Here we go. One day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God. God blesses those who work for peace, for they will be called the children of God. God blesses those who are persecuted for doing right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you're my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward. reward waits for you in heaven. And remember the ancient prophets, that they were persecuted in the same way. Can we pray? God, we read these words that were recorded from what you said. And we want to apply them to our lives. A lot of these statements were you reaching out to people because of their circumstances. Maybe they were poor, maybe they were persecuted, maybe they were mourning. And you comforted them, you blessed them with your presence. But some of these statements in here, God, they're statements of what you would like us to become. So as we learn about this today, God, would you soften our hearts? Would you allow us to hear what your Holy Spirit is speaking to us? So in unity, we can respond to you and become who you've called us to be as participants, as people, as family in your kingdom, in your household. In Jesus' name, amen. We've talked about this before in the last couple weeks, but it's so important for us to understand. Throughout this passage, Jesus used the words of God blesses those. God blesses those. And maybe your translation reads it, blessed are those who. Well, what does blessed mean? Like blessed is a word that we use all the time, but maybe we've never thought about its definition. And when you think about the word blessed, I think maybe you probably, if you've heard much about this passage, you've heard that blessed means happiness. Like happy are those who. Happy are those who. And although the Greek word here has some of that word happiness in it, Jesus is teaching that the blessed is not a subjective feeling. It might contain that, but it's not a subjective feeling. It's an objective reality. It's something that is, not something that we feel. The name beatitude, it's actually a Latin word that we just kept using in English. And it's sometimes translated as happy or fortunate. Fortunate are those who. But the way we now use those words in English, they tend to trivialize the meaning by simply suggesting that this blessing, this is temporary. That fortune is for the moment. Or maybe it's emotional or circumstantial. But instead, the word blessed, the one that Jesus used when he spoke it, it's explaining something special in our relationship with God. So even when we don't feel happy or we're not experiencing good fortune, blessed doesn't mean that God has to give us stuff. He's not a vending machine where you put your loonies in and you type the number and he gives you what you need. That's not God's relationship. He's not a genie in a bottle. Negative feelings or absence of feelings or adverse conditions, those cannot take away your blessings from God. We are blessed because we have a relationship with God. And we all know, even though we struggle with it, that Jesus is more than enough. So these Beatitudes, this list that Jesus started his sermon with, they're not a formula for happiness. If you do this, you will be happy. That's not what Jesus is saying. Instead, they're a declaration from God about us, often despite our circumstances. The context of this passage, it's about Jesus inviting others to be part of his kingdom. Just like we did last Sunday, we participated, we served in what God called us to be like Jesus. We invited people into his kingdom, into his family. What a blessing to be part of God's family, to be invited to be friends with Jesus, to have and grow a relationship with the creator of the universe. Like, we get to be on his team. We get to be part of his plan to save the world. That's what blessed means. We get to be with Almighty God. Well, today we're going to look at the fifth beatitude, where Jesus says, in light of this reality that the kingdom of God has come, in light of this, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, as I read that, I think it's an upside-down statement. And in the world in Jesus' day, and the world in our day, probably everything in between, it seems like the way the world operates is blessed are those who don't extend mercy. Right? Blessed are those who look out for themselves. Blessed are the strong that don't look toward the weak. Just pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. Get off your lazy butt and work harder, and then you will be blessed. Right? Isaac, have you ever been there in a contract that went bad? And you don't know why? And yet you show mercy to that customer who is asking for more than they deserve. You show mercy to that customer who isn't paying what they should. And you extend that blessing of Jesus to the people you're working for. And you receive blessing through that. What you find to be true is that the most people who are gracious and merciful, they have this profound awareness that they've already experienced mercy and grace, either from God or for other people, and most of the time from both. Because Jesus says, I know the way it seems like the world, it works, but in my kingdom, it's not that way. Because if you are merciful, you will be blessed. And you will receive mercy. One of my favorite things to see in the church is the growth that happens in a new believer that has given everything to Jesus. Especially those that come from the fringes of society. It's exciting to see this drastic change in people who are incredibly far away from Jesus. And they heard the good news and they've come into the beauty of this kingdom of God. They've been invited into his family and they've said, yes, I will do it. And listen, those of you who grew up in the church, I love a consistent testimony. Like I've prayed and asked God that each one of my kids, they would be faithful through all of their years and they don't have this turn away and come back. And I would love for every one of you here to have that same testimony where you came to Jesus early in your life and you followed him as best as you understood since you were 3 years old. And I love that. I pray for it, every one of our kids. But it's also exciting to hear a story of someone who later in life has been impacted by the message of Jesus. And they met him for the first time. Right? I didn't know him, and now I know him. That's exciting to hear how he transformed them from something selfish, something horrible, into someone that they could have never imagined to be. And the reason I think this is so important for us to hear and see in our church, these kinds of testimonies, is because the ministry of Jesus is built around drawing from the fringes those who would ultimately become bright lights. Maybe that was you. I love seeing your bright, shining lights. This is who Jesus is, because he lives in me. And really, that's today's beatitude. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. And what we see in the life of Jesus and what we should experience in the life of the church is mercy drawing people into the kingdom of God. I love the story in John chapter 8 of the woman caught in adultery, right? She's caught in the act, and adults, we know what that means. She's caught in the act of adultery, and a mob grabs her and brings her to Jesus and throws her down at the feet of Jesus. And the mob says to Jesus, hey, the law says, the rules are, the right thing to do, Jesus, is that we need, it's required to us to stone this woman. So the legality of the situation is this woman should now be put to death. And the Bible says that Jesus bent over and he drew on the ground. And then he says to the crowd, to the mob that's waiting for his perfect answer. He said, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. If you are without sin, by all means. And then the passage tells us that from the oldest to the youngest, one by one, they all dropped their stones and they walked away. And what happens next, I think, gives us a picture of not only the ministry of Jesus, but really the kind of heart that he wants to develop in us in regards to being merciful. Because he walks over to the woman, and I can only imagine, all he sees is tears and snot and terror. Right? He is perfect. He is the one who has the right to throw that stone. And the law requires that she dies, and he is the one who is allowed to do it under the new rules and the old. And this is what Jesus says. Has no one condemned you? And through her snot and tears and crying and fear, she looks up and she looks around, and no one was left but Jesus. And Jesus says to her, neither do I. I don't condemn you. You deserve it. You earned it. I am the one who's allowed to give it. But neither do I. Go and sin no more. We see this all over in Jesus' ministry. We talk about Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed the tree. We could talk about the woman at the well who was on her third husband, or a man she wasn't even married to. We could go over and over and over again and look at the fact that sinners, those who are furthest away from God, those who are guilty of really deplorable and despicable things, they're not met with shame and guilt and condemnation by the ministry of Jesus. No, they're met with mercy and compassion. Mercy is giving of undeserved acceptance or blessing. Giving of an undeserved blessing. Mercy is, I'm going to give you a blessing that you do not deserve, and I'm not going to give you the wrath or the punishment that you really earned. And Jesus' ministry is marked by this. Well, when you and I come into a relationship with Jesus and we experience his mercy ourselves, then over time, remember the Beatitudes are what he wants to see in his kingdom. The people who are in his kingdom act in these Beatitudes. This is what we are to be coming. And over time, we become more merciful. We stop being judgmental. We start not changing people, not wanting to press the guilt on people, but rather being merciful in the same way that we have experienced his mercy. I think now that we're deep into these Beatitudes, we're past the halfway point, you start seeing their interrelatedness, the way they connect these short sayings, right? Because remember the Beatitudes, the blessing is not a subjective feeling, it's an objective reality. This is what is. So the kind of blessed, merciful people that Jesus is talking about here, the people that Jesus looks at when he's preaching to the crowd, or when Jesus looks at you and me, he's saying, blessed are you. Congratulations, right on. I will give you my presence. You belong in my kingdom. The kind of people that can walk in this mercy are those who are poor in spirit, who know they have nothing to bring to God because it wouldn't measure up. And so they come to him poor in spirit, and they experience his mercy, and they're mourning over their own sinfulness and their self-righteousness. They grieve the state of the world. They see the brokenness of other people, and it breaks their heart. And they're people who are desperate for righteousness. They're hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And we see in a very real way the desire to walk in meekness, that strength under control, and to be part of God's big plan. This is how mercy ultimately works. This is how God is forming you and forming me. Let me share what it is, I think, a picture of your life and my life will become over a period of time. Because remember, when we say yes to Jesus and we're a believer, that's the starting point. And from there, he's going to sanctify us, grow us into more of what he created us to be. In Luke 15, really the first two verses, we see this sentence that large crowds had gathered around Jesus. And let me read it to you, Luke 15, 1 and 2. It says, tax collectors and other notorious sinners. Read it one more time. Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often came to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees, the teachers of the religious law, the church people, we'll say, this made the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, complain that he was associating with sinful people, even eating with them. That's Luke 15, 1 and 2. Jesus was hanging out with rotten people, and the good people were saying, what is going on here? Like, he can't even hang out with the right crowd. And what we see in this passage is tax collectors and sinners. It's really hard to explain how despicable this group of people were in the first century. Like, think about it. You're occupied by another ruler, someone who is basically oppressing you in every way that you possibly can. And then one of your brothers goes and earns money to steal from you and give it to your oppressors. To support that occupying force that was responsible for murder and rape and oppression of your entire family. They were getting paid to steal from you and give it to them. I don't know if we have an equivalent in our modern society. And yet the people who were doing this, they were drawn to Jesus. Why? I think because there's mercy there. And the sinners, it's not like what you and I think, right? When Jesus says tax collectors and sinners, it's not like, well, I sin and you sin and we're, I mean, everybody's a sinner, right? Like, that's not what this term was meaning. Sinners was this whole class of people that were considered unclean. They weren't welcome in the normal places of society. They were pushed out because of the choices they had made or the circumstances they were in. They weren't welcomed in the temple worship. They weren't allowed in the religious fabric of society. But here they are coming to hear and listen to Jesus. And then the self-righteous Pharisees, the Sadducees, they're there too, but they're grumbling and complaining. They're grumbling and complaining because Jesus is actually eating with these men and women. He's in the presence of these men and women, and he's extending mercy to those men and women. He's saying, I understand where you're from, and I want to help you in your situation. I don't know how you've come to our gathering today. The church gathers on Sunday morning to learn and to be fueled up to be sent out. Now, maybe you've come in and you need to be reminded that there's mercy for you. That God has mercy for you. Jesus is saying, I want to bless you. I want to give you mercy. I want to give you my presence. And maybe you need to end your sanctified imagination. Understand that Jesus picks up your face, and Christ says to us, has no one condemned you? Well, neither do I. I don't condemn you either. There's room in my kingdom for you. No matter who you are, no matter what choice you've made, there's room in my kingdom for you. The most open invitation that has ever been given. But maybe you've come in and you're on the opposite end of that spectrum. Maybe lately you're finding yourself more judgmental than you want to be. Maybe you're far more condemning of others than you know that you should be. Maybe you're coming to church because of what you can get out of it. And you wouldn't use those terms. You come here to be fed, to be with your family. Maybe even in the car ride on the way here today, you found yourself highlighting the weaknesses of others and comparing that weakness to your strength. Well, regardless of how you come in, whether you need to receive that mercy or you're being more judgmental and self-righteous, the mercy of Christ is available to form and shape you and shape us into the kinds of men and women that God will use to push back the darkness and see the kingdom of God established wherever we go. There is room in his kingdom for you. Tim, the iPad did something. See, the most powerful thing that can make a person gracious is to realize that they themselves have been forgiven of so much. So if you're someone who lives with a reality where you know mercy's been extended to you, grace has been extended to you, then accept that. Push into that even more. This is a place, this family is a place to extend mercy and forgiveness, even if it feels like you're being taken advantage of. Because Jesus says that you are blessed. Those who experience mercy are given mercy. You are blessed. And some onlookers opposed Jesus' mercy. Others were amazed. While those who received his mercy, like Zacchaeus and the woman at the well, they were quick to go and share the mercy they received with others. And stories like these, stories like the ones we shared about Easter, those confront us with the kindness of God and invite us into the blessed life that Jesus outlines. This beatitude forces us to consider the mercy of God. Have we received it? And if so, do we extend it to others? In what ways do I actively seek to extend the mercy of God to those I encounter in my day-to-day life? And this is really what we did through the Easter week. We met on Thursday night to celebrate what Jesus did with his disciples in the upper room, to remember the pain and the grief, and to receive one more time from Jesus, him saying, "No, I forgive you. By my stripes you are healed. I extended my arms on the cross, and I died for you." But then on Sunday morning, we took our family outside into the yard. We invited the community in, and we said, "I'm putting aside my preferences. I'm putting aside what's in it for me, and I'm going to freely give the mercy that God gave to us," and reminded us of on Thursday night. See, this beatitude forces us to consider the mercy of God. Have we received it? If the mercy of God is giving us undeserved acceptance and blessing, then God's mercy is unspeakable kindness. And if God's kindness is intended to lead people to repentance, right, that's Romans 2, then we would be wise to ask ourselves if our life and ministry imitates the life and ministry of God. What priority do we place on kindness in our interactions with strangers, with these sinners and tax collectors in our day, with those people who live their lives on the fringes? See, more than any other thus far, the fifth beatitude, this mercy, is an occasion for self-reflection. Our instincts or lack thereof toward mercy provide us with a clear picture of whether we truly understand the great kindness that God has shown, his extending mercy to us. And when we, by the Spirit, properly comprehend this mercy of God, we'll be quick to give it away to those we encounter. We get. Do you hear that? You don't have to. You get to extend God's mercy. The Bible pulls no punches. Before receiving the mercy of God, we were his enemies. I was his enemy. We were all on the fringes, but God being rich in mercy. Church, do you remember that verse? But God being rich in mercy, because of his great love, which he loved us, when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. Ephesians 2. If you're here today and you've never asked God before if you could receive that gift of mercy, just pray to him. Talk to him. Have that two-way conversation with him and ask him, "Jesus, today, maybe because of my choices, maybe because of my circumstances, today, Jesus, I need your mercy. I need that blessing that you're talking about, where you come and be with me, where I am in your kingdom. That's what Easter is all about. God showing great mercy and grace to us through Jesus, who loved us so much. He died on a cross, set us free from sin, rose again. He's alive. And he says, I want to give you that mercy. If you've never received it, receive it today. Jesus, I want you. We've been pulled from the fringes of our rebellion against God, the one who is rich in mercy, that God, and who will show immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's what he promises us as we repent and believe, turn from our sin, and follow him. Blessed are those who have received this mercy. Blessed are those who extend this mercy. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your mercy. I know when we look around, we realize mercy is not something that Canadian culture asks of us. In fact, it's the other way around. If you want to get ahead, if you want to be rich or powerful or wealthy or influential, you have to suppress everyone else and rise above the crowd. But your kingdom is different. Your family is different. And we belong to you. So we are now ambassadors for your kingdom, extending the rules of your land. So God, would you, Jesus, would you today help us extend mercy? Help us to forgive one another, to not be in it for what we can get out of it, that consumerism that Canada has taught us to be. But instead, would we look at what you've done, and would we see the mercy and grace you've given us, and would we extend that to everyone else? Would we say, we're in this together, we're going to participate together to show the world how God is different and how they are welcome in his kingdom. God, we need you because we can't do this on our own. We need your Holy Spirit to fill us so that we can tell the world about your mercy and grace. First, what you've done in us, and second, what they can receive. Would you stir us up so we would go out, just like we did on Easter Sunday? Go out to our neighbors, go out to our coworkers. Would you stir us up so that we can extend the mercy that you so freely give, that we could be your ambassadors again? In Jesus' name, amen.